Memoirs of the Reverend W. H. Hewitson, lay minister of the Free Church of Scotland, at Dieletom, by the Reverend John Braley. This was printed in 1851. This is the book that Hudson Taylor read on his first voyage to China. Prefix. The following memoir has been prepared for two reasons. The one, Mr. Hewitson's character. The other, his work. The singular elevation of his Christian walk, so far surpassing what is ordinarily seen in this age of dwarf spirituality, is fitted to stimulate the people of God to loftier attainments in holiness, and fitted also to arrest and win to Christ those who have a name that they live but are dead. It is no mere sentimentalist whose character we portray, genius and high scholarship, dedicated to the service of God and laid a living sacrifice at his feet, is the life sketched in these pages. The reader will discover how fascinating a charm that element invests the man of God. In this department, the author has found it no easy task to make a fitting selection from the mass of Mr. Hewitson's letters. The principle which has guided him was to select those which were properly biographical because exhibiting the writer's characteristic features. The form of extracts rather than of entire letters had been adopted in order to allow room for the more interesting and illustrative as well as to afford variety. It would have been less difficult to extend the memoir twofold than to compress it within its present proportions. The great work in Madeira in which Mr. Hewitson was privileged to bear so large a part is here exhibited in its inner history for the first time. Occasional contemporary notices in the pamphlet by Mr. Rodham Tate, R.N., has acquainted the British public with certain fragrant proceedings of the Romanists in Madeira and with not a little of the suffering of the converts. But the work itself which led to these proceedings has not hitherto been known, and for the obvious reason that to publish it at the time would have been the sure method of arresting its progress, and no opportunity has since arisen for laying it before the public. The details of that work are furnished from two sources, from notes by Dr. Kaley, K-A-L-L-E-Y, prepared by him for this publication. These will be found to be singularly fresh and graphic, from Mr. Hewitson's letters written on the scene and addressed to friends in Scotland. Among these letters are some official but private communications to the committee at home, placed by the committee at the author's disposal. The reader is thus put in possession of a continuous and authentic history of that very remarkable movement. What was that movement? Not a mere intellectual revolt from the absurdities of Roma's teaching, but a widespread and palpable conversion of heart unto God, a living scriptural church called out of the very midst of papal darkness, a noble band of confessors willingly forsaking houses and lands and country for Christ's sake. The history of such a movement is not a little instructive at the present juncture. It tells once more in language with no sophie can mystify that Rome is the uncompromising enemy of an open and understood Bible. It tells that before such a Bible, Rome cannot maintain her ground. It tells that nowhere may not Christians go forth in hope and expectation, if only they go forth in faith and prayer, proclaiming the Lord's gracious call, "Come out of her, my people." It has been the author's aim throughout the memoirs to allow Mr. Hewitson to speak for himself, viewing the task of a biographer to be somewhat analogous to the sitter of a precious stone. He has endeavored simply to set the pearl, not to overlay it. The constant interruptions arising from the pressure of necessary avocations during the few months which have elapsed since Mr. Hewitson's death must be pleaded as an apology for any marks of crudeness which defaced the memoir. For the kind counsel of several friends among whom he is constrained to name, the Reverend Horatius Bonnard of Kelso and Mr. Williamson Dixon, Edinburgh, and the Reverend James Dodds, Dunbar, and the last of whom has contributed some valuable reminiscences, he feels deeply grateful. He also begs to acknowledge the cordial aid of the various other parties who have furnished the letters of Mr. Hewitson, to which the memoir is so largely indented. His thanks are likewise due to Dr. Baird, B-A-I-R-D, of New York, for the records of facts connected with the persecution in Madeira, published by the American Christian Union and forwarded to the author. "We are come," writes Isaac Taylor, "to no easy and gentle mode of the world's history. This is no hour of leisure and facility in soft persuasion. Whoever dares not speak explicitly and boldly had better not speak at all. The adherents of the gospel must either forfeit all chance of a hearing or act with a correspondent energy and promptitude. Whatever overloads, encumbers, defaces our faith should be thrown aside. Whoever is loaded with the stuff of this world, whether interest or prejudice, will be chased from the field or fall there ingloriously. The subject of this memoir dared to speak explicitly. He spoke by his holy life. A soldier unencumbered by the stuff of this world here occupies the field, and he neither is chased away nor falls ingloriously. His watchword is, we know that we are of God, and this whole world lieth in wickedness. The watchword he can use without embarrassment, for he himself consciously walked in God's fellowship. What is it which so often evacuates of spiritual power the most polished and accomplished ministry? A man may preach, says Boston, as an angel, and yet be useless. If Christ withdraws his presence, all will be of no purpose. If the master of the house be away, the household will loathe their food, though it be dropping down about their tent doors. And how is the master's presence secured? Not by a sudden transition from the bathos of a carnal, world-conforming walk to the altitudes of the professional earnestness or the gravity of a pulpit hour, but by habitual consecration of the soul to God, by the tender appeals and the affectionate longings of one who abides in the secret place of the Most High. Follow me, said the Master, and I will make you fishers of men. Is the maximum understood? At least, it is followed. Meditate in these things, saith the disciple who had learned its meaning. Give thyself wholly to them, Paul could say. Thanks be unto God, which causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. And why? Because to him personally to live was Christ. Mr. Hewison, it will be seen, followed Christ. Follow him everywhere. Follow him as his all. And what was the result? I have often since felt the influence of that influence is the testimony of an English minister, after the lapse of 3 years from the occasion of which they had once incidentally met, the hallowed pathos with which he altered his views and the passion for souls which he evinced compelled me to think, here is one of those godly men whose holy fever exceeds the endurance of the bodily frame, which God permits to shorten their lives, apparently by ardent desire and action, that a half-worldly and lukewarm church may get a scriptural idea of zeal for God to relive an example, an epistle known and read of all men, rebuked and at the same time stimulated by the pattern of heavenly-mindedness and devotedness delegated in these pages. The author humbly commends it to the notice of his brethren, praying that he who fashioned this vessel of mercy may stir in many hearts a holy ambition to be cast in the same heavenly mold and filled with the same divine treasures. April 29th, 1851. Having been read by the Peter John Parises, this is the end of the prefix.